current style, my style, I don't have a style. Sort of the process started, not in those days, but started with a book called The Childlike Life of the Black Tarantula, and that's where I first began looking at the word I and what the word I could be about, what it was about, you know, how it functioned. I was very curious of how certain areas of language functioned in the world. You know, and I started off with, well, how does this word function? You know, this is way post-theory. I mean, post-theory, pre-theory. Yeah, time's not linear, what the fuck. But, but this is what, you know, but that's where it started off. You know, there was a sense of it in the earlier work, as in this politics, but it was, I was still working through Burroughs. You know, and I could do a trace of where stuff was from, and God knows so much is in Burroughs, and I've never understood why a lot of postmodern theorists don't go right to Burroughs, why someone like Jameson says Bill Gibson's the only writer around. I mean, I love Gibson's work, but, you know, until they excuse me, please, you know, go back and read Ward William. But anyway, that's another rant and rave. It started with that business about identity. Really went through identity by the end of that series, the Toulouse Tarantula Nymphomaniac, where I decided that identity was a false problem. You know, I'd say, what I'd do is I'd set up problems and I'd just write according to the problems, and the problems would dictate the kind of writing. So I wasn't terribly interested in style as style. I was interested in style as dictated by whatever problem I was setting up in those days. I mean, I thought of it as a kind of scientific work.
What's another kind of problem that you would set up?
That's the one I did in those days. And then by the end of it, I got very uninterested in identity because it seemed that identity was something that was made. I mean, I'm saying this very simplistically, and it was pretty simple back in those days. But, you know, what quickly came in was the problem of language, that I was working in a medium that wasn't transparent or even translucent. You know, so, and I had to consider both language and memory. So that made the thing more complicated. And I did a stupid work called Kathy Goes to Haiti, just because I wanted to write a porn book to make money. And so I wrote a kind of straight book, and it took me about 6 pages to get bored out of my mind, so I started playing like games, like Raymond Queneau games, you know, little mathematical things, and, you know, just to amuse myself, but it's a really dumb book. But the book, I did a book called Blood and Guts in High School. Really, I thought, in my very punked out mind in those days, this was just the beginning of punk, 76, 75, 76, I thought this was going to be a commercial book. I don't think I had a clue what a commercial book was, but I was so poverty stricken, I was just anything. But what interested me in that book was the work, was the end of the book, the stuff I, at that time, was the stuff I did about Jean Genet, where I used a lot of Genet's texts, and I sort of started using appropriate, I had always worked with other texts, but now I no longer had, like, I'm going to try to investigate identity. Now, I didn't have a problem prior to the appropriation of the text. I was just appropriating the text, and that fascinated me. And I realized what I really wanted to do was just use other texts. I mean, this wasn't new to me. The first poetry reading I ever gave in my life, I repeated the lyrics of rock and roll songs. So it must have, you know, whatever. Someone said, what you do as a kid is what you do all your life. Well, there's some truth in that. But anyway, so I got really interested in repetition, which came out of a lot of the memory stuff. I was working with a philosopher named Bergson on the early memory, not the famous Henri Bergson, another one who was teaching in one of those Midwest colleges. I met some students of his. Anyway, I'm going off again. I've got to stop it. So I got really interested in repetition, especially in repetition of texts, and repetition also of texts that are not just verbal. What happens if you repeat a visual text verbally, things like that. And that became Great Expectations. So that was another kind of, if you like, experiment. If you're asking how, you know, what were other problems. So, you know, identity, I became uninterested, though I've always played around with the word I. I mean, I've never used the word I to mean, you know, to you know, point at, to signify me. Or I've never shared what this is. Or, you know, we're getting on a huge problem here, so, I'm trying to skirt it very badly. It is just, you know, I'm talking from memory of 20 years now, and probably everything I'm saying is wrong. But anyway, So I got interested in this business about appropriation. Sherry Levine's work was a real sort of like key for me at this time. And I was involved with some of the Metro people who were with Metro Pictures at that time. Richard Prince. I never knew Sherry Levine, but certainly Richard and I were good friends. David Sally and I were friends at that time. That group of artists. So that work came out of, you know, a lot being influenced by their work. And then in 76, I met a guy named, this just give you an idea of the kind of things were going on. I met a guy named Sylvain Letranger, and he introduced me to the work of Michel Foucault and Deleuze and Guattari. And there, you know, they kind of explained to me a lot of things I was doing I didn't understand. I didn't understand why I was gender slipping, or very gender indefinite, if you even had a sense of what gender was. Why I was slipping in many ways, why my narratives were decentralized. It's the easiest way to say it, so excuse the jargon and just interrupt me if I'm saying something that's... And reading their work gave me a sense of why I was doing what I was doing and also a way of going onwards. So, you know, I did from 76 onwards, so I can answer more questions about them. But that was the beginning of the work. I mean, that gives you, I think, an idea from, like, 71 to 76. Anti-Oedipus. Remember, we're dealing a long time ago. But yeah, Anti-Oedipus was just, you know, basically it was my Bible for a number of years. And, you know, I just started rereading it this year, and I thought, because the new novel, I just finished a novel a week ago, and Antonin Artaud is one of the main characters, or in the beginning is one of the main characters. And so I went back and reread Anti-Oedipus, and I thought, wow, this thing holds up like I never thought it would. You know, it's still sort of like really amazing to me politically. What's in this stuff?